Podcast today's show at rte.ie/todaywithseanorourke.
Well, back to Gaza now. The US is one of Israel's biggest backers internationally. And as the conflicts continue in Gaza, US Secretary of State John Kerry leads the effort to find a diplomatic solution. But has the relationship between Israel and the Obama administration become so poisonous at this point that Kerry's efforts are doomed to fail? Well, just before we came on air, I spoke to Fred Barbash, editor of the Washington Post's Morning Mix. Fred, thanks very much indeed for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
If we leave aside the politicians for just one moment, where is American public opinion on what they're seeing at the moment from Gaza?
Very pro-Israel, as always. Not a surprise. There's been a long-running love affair between Americans and Israel, and it hasn't subsided, and even in the face of all the images from Gaza, it's still very strong, according to the latest polling.
Really? And no change at all in terms of support for Israel and what they're doing in Gaza?
Nothing significant, according to the latest poll that I saw was a couple of days ago. And the lead of it is, a CNN poll says, despite a flood of wrenching images and graphic reports, a majority of Americans side with Israel in its assault on Gaza.
And Fred, can I ask you, I mean, is part of this that Americans aren't that engaged with what's going on in Gaza?
Well,
at the
to some extent, you know, to be honest, Americans don't pay much attention to foreign news. It's very sporadic. You have to have a single dramatic event like that plane going down in Ukraine being shot down, and then people tune in and then they tune out again. And even though this is obviously a very dramatic battle going on between Israel and Gaza, I think Americans just aren't really very interested in anything that happens overseas, to be perfectly honest, and the attention span is very short. But the support for Israel has really become part and parcel of sort of the American political and cultural psyche, increased in recent years by heavy support from evangelicals, for example. So it's both on the right and the center. The criticism of Israel comes mostly from the left, concerned about Palestinians and human rights. And you know, there have been efforts, some organized attempts to boycott
Israeli goods,
anything to do with Israel, some of the rock bands and so forth. But the general support of the American public is really hasn't changed at all.
And when you move over to the political situation, if you like, I mean, what Congress, they would be very much pro-Israeli, would they?
Yes, and the that's also kind of rock solid. A member of Congress who's critical of Israel is likely to face significant opposition in their next re-election bid, both because Israel is popular with the public and because Israel supporters are very affluent lobbying, have a very affluent lobbying presence in Washington. So, and you know, Kalen, it's also tied up with American attitudes on terrorism. So Hamas is regarded as a terrorist organization, equated in most people's minds with Al-Qaeda and 9/11 and all of that. And that just, you know, I think a lot of Americans probably see this as part of the battle, the global war on terrorism that presidents are always talking about here. So that, I think, reinforces support for Israel. There's no sympathy at all for any group that's identified in the American mind as terrorists.
I'm not
sure they're familiar enough with the, most Americans are familiar enough with the history of the Palestinians to have any sort of sympathy that about their particular plight versus other Arab groups that they don't like very much.
And that's right across the American population, not just the Jewish American population.
That's right across the American population.
And, you know, I suppose with that kind of background, it would have to be very difficult for President Obama to take any kind of political risk in any effort to force Israel to cease their
It's very difficult, and it's been very difficult for every president, starting with Jimmy Carter, to even criticize Israel, frankly, because the public is so supportive of Israel. So there is a great political risk in appearing to not be sympathetic to Israel. It's not the kind of thing that turns elections by any means, but there isn't, let's put it this way, there's nothing to be gained politically by criticizing Israel in the United States.
You'd have to imagine that political funding would be very much affected if you were to criticize Israel.
It would be. And yet, in fact, there are some very wealthy donors who supported Romney and others specifically because they thought that Obama was not sufficiently supportive of Israel.
And, you know, Obama is in his second term at this point. Is it within his ability to, you know, throw all this to one side and decide, actually, I am going to do something about this. I'm going to go in hard here. Has he got the arsenal to do it?
It's certainly within his ability, but he isn't doing it. You know, he's still behaving. In fact, interestingly, he seems to be more, shall we say, timid than he was on this subject, this and other subjects. In fact, a lot of the commentary here has to do with Obama kind of on the sidelines of all sorts of world conflict at a time when, because he doesn't have to stand for re-election, he could be a little bolder in what he's doing.
So why do you think he is being so ineffectual, if you like, as you say, not just in what's going on in Israel and Gaza?
Well,
but
I don't want to use the term ineffectual. I think that he is, as you know, been described as he's a very practical, cerebral man, and he doesn't, unless I think he feels that he can actually change the course of events or change the situation, he tends not to step in. I mean, look what happened in Syria.
It is within his ability to make some change here if he wanted to.
It is, and
what,
if he wants
he do?
To, but he clearly doesn't want to.
What could he do?
Well, you know, he could be critical of what Israel is doing, and he could, you know, in the extreme, if he felt this way, you know, maybe he doesn't feel this way, he could threaten to withhold U.S. aid. I mean, look, the whole Iron Dome is an American-funded project. That would be quite extreme. But I don't know that he wants to do that anyway. What I'm talking about is I don't think he feels that much of what he does can affect this particular moment in history, and I think his conversations with Netanyahu have reinforced that. So he's not somebody who's going to go out on a limb and then get rebuffed, go in there and make some demand. You see what happened, you know, with Kerry and Obama calling for ceasefire, which is not what the Israelis want right now, and they really provoked an incredibly negative reaction in Israel, which is beginning to be felt back here, just by suggesting something as simple as that. It wasn't even accompanied by any grand plan or scheme for a long-term resolution of that conflict. It was merely a suggestion that there ought to be a longer ceasefire than a couple of hours. And, of course, there was an eruption in Israel as a result of that.
Moving on to another story coming out of the US this week, and a totally different story. Sarah Palin has launched her own news channel. We have a clip, actually, of the launch video. We'll just take a listen to that.
Are you tired of the media filters? Well, I am. I always have been. So we're going to do something about it. I want to talk directly to you on our channel, on my terms, and no need to please the powers that be. Most importantly, I want you to talk directly to me. That's what I'm most anxious about, hearing from you.
Sarah Palin's launch video there. What's this all about? I mean, has Sarah Palin any political capital much in America now?
No, it's very small. The mainstream Republicans want nothing to do with her. She's a bad memory as far as they're concerned. She has absolutely no chance of getting any nomination for any high office. She does have some influence in the smaller primary election races that we have here for congressional seats. If she endorses a candidate, it raises that candidate's profile, but She's somebody who finds it ever since she was nominated for vice president, has been trying to stay in the limelight somehow, one way or the other, either through reality TV or her Facebook posts and saying things, you know, calling for Obama's impeachment, saying things that are clearly designed to be provocative and get some attention. This show is really a pastiche of scenes, sort of a jumble of scenes picturing her with her son who has Down syndrome, and very, of course, touching and affecting. And the same, then moving back to attacking Obama and the mainstream media, then moving back to her home and her gardening and that sort of thing. So it kind of doesn't seem to have any story.
It's an extraordinary combination, isn't it? News and reality TV.
Yeah, it has no story to tell. And let's face it, it's her, somebody putting on their own kind of little YouTube show.
It's a kind of a glory project.
My kid can do that. It's kind of pathetic.
Right. Well, listen, on that note, look, Fred Barbash, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.
Great to talk to you.
And you.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.